Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, not then a justice, was nominated by the president to sit on the United States Supreme Court. With all deference to Justice O'Connor, that was the first time, at least in my memory, when a nominee essentially did not answer very many questions. I asked her questions, other members of the committee asked her questions, and she essentially sort of began this tradition of just not answering questions. Again, I have the highest regard for Justice O'Connor. I think she's been a great judge, great justice in the United States Supreme Court. But I must say, it just kind of bothered me as a member of the Judiciary Committee that a nominee was not answering questions. It just didn't seem right. Well, we at that time decided, well, okay, just, she seems like a very good person. She's in the state senate, I think, in her home state in Mexico. So let's vote to confirm her. We're now faced with the situation where Mr. Estrada is not answering any questions whatsoever, and he's not providing other information to the committee. There aren't very many decisions we can make that would be more important. There are not very many. Why is that? That's because these are lifetime appointments. Mr. President, you run for re-election. I do. Everybody in this body, every few years, every 6 years, everybody in the other body every 2 years, every governor virtually every 4 years, sometimes 2 years, every president 4 years, except those that cannot run for the election because of the Constitution requirement, face the voters. We're held accountable. Voters have a chance to either elect us, re-elect us, or not. But boy, once someone has put the United States federal judiciary Article 3 position, that's life. It's for life. And I believe that's the way it should be. Why? Because these are the people we want to be totally fair, totally impartial, to do what's right, and not be swayed by the instant, temporary whims and vogues of the moment. Responsibility. I think that when voters elect us, they basically say, Senator, we don't know all the ins and outs of what's going to go on back there in Washington, D.C., but we want you to do the right thing. That's what we want you to do. Do the right thing. And just don't do something nutty or crazy. Just basically do the right thing. Most people, they give us a lot of latitude so long as it kind of sounds right, it fits right, it smells right, and really is right. Now, Mr. President, I got to tell you, it does not sound right. It does not fit right. It does not smell right. It does not seem right for this body to confirm somebody who will not answer any questions and who will not give us relevant information and who has no prior history, so it's hard for us to know. I'll bet you this, Mr. President. I'll bet you many down that Justice Department and others, perhaps in the White House, sat down with Mr. Estrada and asked him a lot of questions. I bet he gave him a lot of answers. I'll bet there's somebody in this operation who's supporting his nomination in the administrative and the executive branch who knows a lot about this, Mr. Estrada, had long conversations with him. If they do, which is proper, entirely proper, in fact, it's imperative, it's an obligation they have to ask him questions, particularly before the president suggests a nominee for the D.C. Court of Appeals. If they do, so should we have the information in the United States Senate. We have an equal responsibility. An equal responsibility to know how he feels about certain issues, siding with the president, and what the who should be or should not be on the federal judiciary. Pretty simple. It's our third branch of government. It's our third of the main three branches of the three branches of government. And if it's not right that one branch of government should dictate who does and who does not sit on the United States Supreme Court, that's not right. Rather, it's a joint decision. It's a joint decision. A decision which, just as the president took very seriously, it's a decision that we have an obligation to take equally seriously. It reminds me a little bit, Mr. President, of back in the, years ago, is when an earlier president, President Franklin Roosevelt, decided he didn't agree with the Supreme Court decision. He didn't agree with it. So what did he do? He came up with an idea to add more justices to the United States Supreme Court. you know, it's colloquially referred to as the court packet, attempt by President Roosevelt. Well, the United States said it stood up. It said, no, that's the wrong thing to do. I'm very proud to say that the senator who stood up was from Montana. It was Burt K. Wheeler, Senator Wheeler. He said, no, it's the wrong thing to do. And just as he stood up, Mr. President, I think we have an obligation here in the United States to stand up when it's the wrong thing to do, that is, to pass judgment on, to decide, to agree with the president's decision where we have no information. We will not answer questions. He will not tell us what he thinks. What is this person really all about? You know, the sense of the guy. Where is he? Where's his soul? Who is he? That's what we have to determine, deciding whether or not he should be placed on the D.C. Court of Appeals, Mr. President. I say it very, very respectfully. I might add that the D.C. Court of Appeals is no ordinary garden variety appellate court. It's a special, sort of appellate court. And that's because it's so many decisions made by federal agencies go to the D.C. Court of Appeals as opposed to the Ninth Circuit or the Fourth Circuit or whatnot. There's so many of them. Environmental laws, for example, the labor laws that go primarily to the D.C. Court of Appeals, for which Mr. Estrada has been nominated, much more than to other courts. And these decisions affect all of us around the country. They don't just affect the D.C. Circuit. The people who reside in the D.C. Circuit, they affect all Americans.